Well, good morning. Well, thanks for coming. Jim and Donna, you can go ahead and come up here, okay, for the to be ready for the Advent candle. Yes, thank you for coming, and I pray, I guess you all made it in safely, and God bless you for your efforts and endeavors. It's always do we, don't we? We did. So, for those that are here, praise the Lord. You know, and I'm not saying this to guilt anybody if those that aren't here are listening to the service this week, but it amazes me. Yesterday I watched a little of the Wisconsin-Minnesota college football game up there in the Twin Cities, and the second half was a raging snowstorm, and you have 90,000 people sitting outside in it. And the day before that, Friday, my twin brother Mark and I trekked down to Omaha in that weather for the Husker game, only to see him lose by to Iowa for the Hawkeye fans here. Sitting in the cold and the rain part of the game for 3 hours. So we are here in God's presence in the warmth and comfort. So God bless you. Thank you for being here. And to those, I realize I'm in town. I just get to walk right across. So but praise the Lord. Just a couple announcements here. This Saturday is Soup Kitchen. I looked back in my bulletin and I saw a year ago we had to postpone Soup Kitchen to the following Saturday because of the weather. And this Sunday, a year ago, we had the same weather scenario where we didn't have Sunday school, but we had church and practice for the program. So it does happen. We know that. To the Christian Ed Committee, all of you, thank you, and others who helped put the tree up, the greens, it's beautiful. For the poinsettias here, given in memory of loved ones, thank you so much for that, and maybe more coming in the next week, but it just makes the sanctuary so beautiful for the Christmas season. So those surplus items out there in the social hall, today is the last Sunday for bids on those, so I know those old antique chairs looks like a sort of hot item. So I guess I'm not sure after church, David Herbold, I guess I'll leave to you when the cutoff time is on that, right after church, or how that's going to be, and maybe there won't be any other competition on it. But that does end today, the bidding on those items. So several other announcements in there. Please read those as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we worship and praise and magnify your holy name. Father, we gather on this, the first day of the week, the day of your resurrection. And Lord, we're here because we love you. Number one, we love the fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, the day just isn't quite the same without being able to gather in this sanctuary in your presence, your manifested presence, even though we know, Lord, that you are always with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. But thank you for those that have traveled in and for the safety, I hope, of everyone on their way here, and I pray for that as well on the way home today. Lord, as we enter this season of Advent, we are excited. It is an exciting season of our church year, and we rejoice in the beauty of it. And let the nation, let the world, let their hearts and minds and eyes be drawn to you, Jesus, as we celebrate your birth, as we look forward to your second coming with great anticipation. We thank you for blessing our time together here today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So this year I'm having the elders and their families, spouses and or families or children, however it works, be our Advent readers. So Donna and Jim Sattler will start us off today doing that. Thank you for helping. Shouldn't go up to be on here. Okay. Well, I wonder if we have let's see. I think we might have a dead battery. Oh, maybe not. Here we go. Sorry.
As we gather around the Advent wreath today, we see that the circle of the wreath reminds us of God Himself. Our Heavenly Father is eternal. He has always been and always will be. His mercy is endless, having no beginning or end. The green of the wreath speaks of the hope that we have in God, the hope of new life in Christ and of eternal life in heaven. Our scripture reading today will be from the book of Psalms, chapter 90, verses 1 and 2. Lord, through all the generations you have been our home, before the mountains were created, before you made the earth and the world, you are God, without beginning or end.
As we light the candle this first Advent candle, we know that the candle symbolized the light of God coming into the world through the birth of his Son, Jesus Christ. The four outer candles represent the period of waiting during the four Sundays of Advent, which themselves symbolize the four centuries of waiting between the prophet Malachi and the birth of Christ. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Word made flesh. We do believe and confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One. During this season of Advent, let our hearts and minds be turned and drawn toward you, Jesus. Let our mouths be filled with your praises as we magnify your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jim and Donna. I guess, I don't know if I finished the soup kitchen announcement. Actually, I got sidetracked, I think. You should have your reminder slips, though. If you didn't get them handed to you last Sunday, they were mailed out in the Salem Spire. So I know you all read that on that very day, don't you? If you have any questions, I know Judy's here on the committee, and maybe just Judy. So, but that is this coming Saturday, okay? Our first hymn will be number 244, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Let's stand so we sing this together, 244. Concerns here this morning, and again, thanks for everybody for coming out today. Continued prayers for Milo. He's recovering from that pneumonia yet, but getting better. Prayers for Linda Nuss, Jeff's wife. She fell on Friday night at home, tripped and fractured the ball of her shoulder bone, and has to wait till for Tuesday to see the orthopedic surgeon to determine whether they should do surgery or not, right? And has having a lot of pain. Yeah, I imagine. So we pray for Linda here, and Jeff too, of course, in this. Anything else? Devin. Good. All right. Devin's mom, Diane, is having IVs at home, seems to be helping, and she's improving. So we praise the Lord for that. Tyler.
Mom goes to Rochester Tuesday morning for MRI.
Okay. All right. Cindy Ulmer goes to Mayo Clinic tomorrow. Well, appointment's Tuesday, leaving tomorrow, so we continue to pray for her. All right. Morgan. Yes. Oh, Friday was Taylor's, 13th birthday. Taylor Fryer, you're a teenager. Happy birthday, Taylor. Welcome to the world. Lee.
Pray for the family who lost their house on Friday in the fire. Pray that they weren't home, but they lost everything. Pray for the firefighters that were there. Mel, Freeman, and Mary to help contain the fire from the house.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Was that? Friday night or
Friday morning.
I heard the sirens go. Yeah. Okay. What's their last name?
Blue.
Huh?
Morgan.
Morgan is the last name, okay. Family in Freeman that lost their house in a fire early Friday morning, lost everything. They were not there, so thankfully there was no loss of life. And thanks to the fire departments, Menno was over there, Freeman and Marion. Okay, yeah, God bless you guys. Okay, anybody over here? Marilee? Oh, yeah.
Yes, on behalf of the War Committee, I want to say thank you for that wonderful offering on Wednesday evening. Last year we spent over $2,500 helping the needy and whoever else needed help in the community, and that $1,900 was surely a blessing, so thank you again, and God bless. As Pastor Mike said Wednesday night, thanks be to God.
Yes, amen. Amen. It was a wonderful offering on Wednesday night, yes, to the Moore Committee and the work they do. So praise the Lord. Okay, let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we do thank you, and we say thanks be to God for Jesus, your indescribable gift. Thanks be to God for the victory that you give us over death, over sin. Thanks be to God that you lead us in that triumphal procession in Christ, as we share your message, Lord, to the world. And thank you for that beautiful offering for the Moore Committee and the work that they do. Lord, we praise you for that. Father, for the safety of traveling, those that are here today and as they return home, we pray for safety. Father, for this family that lost their home and all their possessions on Friday morning early in that house fire. We lift them up to you, Lord. Thank you that there was no loss of life. We pray for those that will rally around, as we know happened here with Daniel and Nicole Schaefer and family. I don't know what that's been, a year or two ago now for them. And we just trust you for providing for this family through many and various ways. Lord, for Cindy Ulmer as she travels to Mayo Clinic on Tuesday, we just lift her up and ask continually for your healing hand to be at work within her. And we pray the same for Devin Bent's mother, Diane. Thank you for improvements that have been made there. For Milo, as he continues to improve, we pray for Linda Nuss, Lord, and ask for wisdom and direction to the orthopedic surgeon in determining whether surgery needs to happen. Lord, we ask that you would help this pain to lessen. We know that your healing power has already begun at work on your end, and we thank you for that. For the others, Lord, several, many names in the bulletin who are in the various stages of the cancer battle, some in the midst of chemo, some in the healing process after chemo, wherever, Lord, we lift these all up to you and ask for your healing power to continue to be at work within each of them, Father. Thank you for this Sunday of Advent and for this Thanksgiving weekend that we are still finishing. We thank you for our nation, the freedoms that we have to come and gather and worship you as we are this day. For our troops, Lord, those serving abroad and even in our own nation who are separated from their families, we ask your hand of protection upon them. Thank you, Lord, that our president was able to do a surprise visit over there to Afghanistan and be with the troops. I'm sure that was a wonderful excitement, unexpected blessing for them. Lord, as always, we ask for the outpouring of your Spirit on our nation. Bring revival to this land, we pray. And we thank you for all of these things, Father, and so much more. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read from Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. It says this, "But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons and daughters of Christ." That when the time had fully come, it was the exact time when Jesus was born. And it will be at God's exact time when Jesus comes again. Let's receive our tithe and offering this morning. We'll sing the Lord's Prayer too instead of the doxology. Thank you, Jennifer. That was beautiful. Let's stand, please.
Thank you.
Father, we worship you. For you hold all things in your hands, in your time. And as we listen to the music played, O come, Emmanuel, God with us. And at the exact time, you sent forth your Son, Jesus. And at the exact time, Jesus, you will return. With great excitement in our hearts, we anticipate that day. And with great excitement in our hearts, we give of the first fruits of our increase to you, to worship you in spirit and in truth, with all of our lives, spirit, soul, and body, so that we can proclaim the message that Jesus is Lord of all, and you are. And so we ask that you take these gifts and multiply them for the work of your kingdom, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Father, we confess our faith together now through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. If the children would come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time.
Good morning, boys and girls. Good to see you all. Are you excited about program practice today?
Yeah.
Yes, I am too. Yeah, you can just sit down right there. Well, I have brought this book. Who knows what this is? A dictionary. This is a dictionary. So what is in this book? Just tell me. Words. It tells words, how to pronounce them, and what they mean, right? And this particular one is a Scrabble dictionary, because I like to play Scrabble, and we got to make sure that the words we use are in this book. Well, that is a way that we communicate with each other, right? With our words. What is some other way we can communicate our thoughts or our feelings? How else, without speaking, can we communicate? With your face, right? So if I look like this, what does that probably mean?
You're mad.
I'm mad. How about this?
I'm happy.
Yeah. How about this?
When
people do this, what does that mean?
I don't know.
I don't know, right? These are all body language. Do you have another one? Huh?
Letter.
What do you mean?
Communicate.
Oh, read a letter. Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, you can communicate with letters. Sign language, very good. These are all different ways to communicate.
Texting.
Yes, you can text on your phone too, right? Other ways are through dance and art and painting. Those show people our feelings and our thoughts. But of all these different ways to communicate, do you know what the number one way is that we communicate? Through our words, right? We communicate through our words. And it's very important. Like, because our words can be very powerful. This says, these are placemats that we made for the Union Gospel for one of their meals there. That's a place that helps the homeless. And we made these at the Care Center and at our church with the four O's. But this says, joy to the world. Is that powerful? Does that tell somebody that it just makes you feel happy inside? Peace and love at this Christmas. Those are all powerful words. Jesus is born, right? These are all powerful words. Well, do you know what? The Bible tells us in John chapter 1, verse 1, listen to this. It says, in the beginning was the Word. Everybody say Word. And the Word was with God. Say Word. And the Word was God. So that's talking about Jesus. This verse tells us that Jesus was also called the Word. And that is what God wanted to communicate with us when he sent Jesus. He came to tell us all that he loves us. Jesus came to tell us and show us healing, right? To tell us that he wanted us healed. God loved us. He took away, he forgave people for their sins. He wanted people to know they are forgiven and they are loved. He came to deliver people from the oppression of the devil. And he came and told us all of these things. And these things are all found in this Bible, which is also called the Word. So isn't that exciting to know that Jesus came to communicate with us? And especially John 3:16. That's also on all of our placemats. What's John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him will have everlasting life. That's the good news. That's Jesus. That's what our season is all about, okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we're learning and we're hearing today and just being reminded that Jesus is the Word. You sent the Word to us to communicate with us, to love us, to show us, to lead us. Help us even as boys and girls to know this season is all about you and your Son. Help us to share good words with others, good letters, good texts that can build them up and encourage them and show them your love. Bless these boys and girls this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can get your papers.
Thank you, Anne. Mm. We'll sing number 243, Emmanuel. We'll sing this through twice. Emmanuel, Jesus, that is you, God with us. What a blessing, what a privilege that you became a man to live and walk among us. And even now, we know that You are not absent from us for a moment, but in your divinity, majesty, and grace and spirit, you are with us. You live in us. You never leave us. Jesus, you are the living Word. And so we thank you for now, this time as we look into your Word, that again we ask for you to speak to our hearts, open the eyes of our understanding, as we endeavor to live for you and to love you more, to know you more, in all of your glory for who you are, our Lord and our Savior. Father, I ask for you to speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. This is where we will be spending a good part of our Advent season this year, in these first 14 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of a natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Christmas from the Gospel of John. That's the title here, if you've looked at your bulletin. We know Matthew and Luke, those give us all the historical details of Joseph and Mary, of Zechariah and Elizabeth, of the angels, the shepherds, the wise men, the virgin birth, Bethlehem, King Herod. We find all of that in Matthew and Luke. None of that in Mark's gospel. None of that in John's gospel. But John comes from a different angle at the Christmas story, as we would call it. More from a theological perspective, where he tells us who this Christ really is, who Jesus really is. John helps us by the Spirit of God to answer the question, who is this child born in Bethlehem? Or, as we're going to sing in our closing hymn, what child is this? Right? And so we're going to look into that. There's about 6 points. We'll just be on the very first one today when we look at the phrase, who is this child? Number one, he is the Eternal One. If you're taking your notes, that's where we're at. Jesus is the Eternal One. Again, verse 1 and 2, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And then verse 14 answers, who's the Word? Well, he says very plainly, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, Jesus being born in Bethlehem. Something that we all know, seeming so very simple, but yet so amazingly profound that to wrap our heads around it can be a little challenging. But so there's about 5 points through this, Jesus being the Eternal One, that I want to look at. Letter A, he has always been. Now, to some of you, probably many of you, this is just review. But to others here, it could be like, wow, okay. And I say in confirmation, it's usually in those years, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, where so many times, as we're talking about some of this, I always say it's like the light bulb goes on. I didn't know that Jesus has always been. I thought he just came into existence when he was born as a baby in Bethlehem. And maybe even for some adults, the Holy Spirit brings that revelation to us, right? We have to know that. Jesus has always existed with the Father, with the Holy Spirit. We call that the Trinity, three in one. Jesus was not created. He is the Creator, as we'll see a little later. When God created the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is therein, Satan, on the other hand, has he always existed? No, he has not. Before he was Satan or the devil, we know him to be Lucifer, a created angel, one of the highest angels. We're only given three names: Lucifer, Michael, the archangel, and Gabriel. Gabriel usually is the one who's delivering the messages. Lucifer led the praise and worship of heaven. There came a time pride entered in, though, into him, and he wanted to exalt himself above the throne of God, which was sin, which when he was cast out, which is when he became Satan or the devil. All right? So, we know this. Psalm 90, verse 2, that was in the Advent reading, before the mountains were born, or you, God, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. That's NIV. I had the New Living, what they read. I like how it brings that out. Same words, mostly. It says, you are God without beginning or end. From everlasting to everlasting. That's what those two words mean when they're used that way. You have no beginning, you have no end. God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Without beginning, without end. And so we see that. He has always been. Second, so as the eternal one, what do we see in John chapter 1 again? In the beginning. That's letter B. In the beginning. That phrase we have, Genesis 1:1, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. That word God, then, in the Hebrew language, is said Elohim at that point. Elohim. Okay, it's a plural word there in the Hebrew, meaning Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And we see that brought out in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 at creation, when it says there, then God, Elohim, said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Us, our, plural words, aren't they? It was just this fall in Sunday school, as we were working through Genesis, answers in Genesis material, and of course these questions, I love them, because the high schoolers can be on the quiet side. Do you believe that, mom and dads? In Sunday school, I better clarify, they can be on the quiet side. And one of the boys put his hand up after we read this, and he said, Pastor Mike, why does that say us? And our, and I said, good question. You're thinking there. You are thinking. It's the Trinity, right? The Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all present at creation, together working as three in one. Elohim, that's what that is. In the beginning. What beginning then? I thought you just said God is without beginning and without end. So what beginning? The beginning of creation as we know it, our world, the universe in which we live, the planets, the solar systems, the galaxies, all of that. That beginning is what in the beginning, with time as we know it now, We know God's time is different than our time, right? He has always been. Our time, the way we know it, came. It revolves, our earth revolves around the sun, and the earth rotates itself as it's going around the sun, and we have the seasons that we enjoy, right? Most all of them. They keep us hearty and healthy, the change. So that's the beginning here. But Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. We see it. So it's so amazing. As God set all this into motion, created it all, and it's taken, I'll say over the last 6,000 years, just in the recent centuries, for man to begin to learn as God gives man the understanding, and through as God gave man and is still the increase in wisdom of science and all that. For the longest time, man thought the earth was flat, right? We know all about that. And God gives understanding of all of it. God has given man the wisdom to create and invent the telescopes and to take a mission to the moon and send satellites beyond. God gives that wisdom to man, and the sad part of it is then man takes it as their own and becomes prideful. A lot of it is that way. Look what we have done. Look what we have discovered. And we've sent a man to a moon by our power and our wisdom, and they try and take God out of the whole picture of it, of his creation that he spoke into existence. They try to take God out of it. Oh, no, it's just all evolved this way, or it's been the Big Bang Theory, and it just, poof, there it all is, exactly, in orbit, and so on and so on. When God spoke it into existence through the Word, Jesus, the Eternal One. See the third point in this? Jesus is one with the Father. He's one with the Father as the Eternal One. Philip, in John 14, Philip said to Jesus, this was on the night before the cross, and he said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Do you know that this happened right after John 14, verse 6, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You got verse 7, and then Philip in verse 8 says, Lord, show us the Father then, and it'll be sufficient. And Jesus says, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been with you, among you, for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? And again in John 10, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Those basic foundational truths that we have. Now, would you believe it? This is probably a first in my 15 years here, but my third page of my notes must be on my desk. Okay, so we'll go with what we got, with what I gave you. Praise the Lord. I think it was all the snow and the texting and the putting the ice out and everything else. I had it out of my binder, and there it lays. The fourth point, though, Jesus is the Word. Let me back up, though, on this letter C. I know I was going to say something in here at this point. Just, you know, when you think upon this, Jesus as the Eternal One, I mean, that's incredible that he took on human flesh for us because of his love for us, right? It is amazing. Oh, here comes the administrative assistant to the rescue. But you think about that. We need to, as we go through the challenges of life, the difficulties, and we got to know that he's with us. You even found it. Praise the Lord. She needs a raise. Oh my. That he is with you through the challenges of life. The things we're going through are not a surprise to our Father, even though they are to us so many times, and they can just about knock the wind out of us at times. And they are various serious situations that we walk through, and I am not trying to take away that from any of us. But we have to know that the Eternal One is with us, and he is at work in these situations. It's just as I said at the very beginning, that our time is not his time. And we can be so impatient, all of us, in these times. And you know, as I think about that, and I probably said this before too, but part of the reason as we parent our children and try to teach them patience, it is so important as they grow up learning patience. Because otherwise, if we get into our adult lives and we never learned patience growing up, we just threw fits, and fits happen. They do, even as we're trying to teach our kids patience, right? That's usually when they do happen, when we're trying to teach our children that. But if we don't learn that growing up, then guess what? We can act that way with God in these hard times. And we don't want to be that way. So, letter D. Thank you, Jennifer. Jesus is the Word. The Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now that Word, the Word, okay, in John chapter 1, that's this word in the Greek, logos. Okay, so do I need to remember that? No, not if you don't want to. But I'd like you to remember this, and this I'm going to read from a commentary about it. It says in the English language, this, the Word, I mean, that can mean a lot of different things in our language, right? It does not bring out the full richness of the Greek. This phrase, the Word was with God, means far more than that the Word just existed with God. I mean, remember, Jesus is the Word, okay? It gives, in the Greek, it gives the picture of two personal beings, the Father, the Son, facing one another and engaging in intelligent discourse. Sort of cool. From all eternity, Jesus, as the second person of the Trinity, was in deep, intimate fellowship with the Father, face to face. The Word, meaning Jesus, is a divine person, not just an attribute of God. You know what I mean by attributes? God is faithful, right? That's an attribute. God is holy. God is just. God is loving. Those are attributes. Jesus, the Word, the living Word, the Logos of God, is a divine person, and of course lives in a physical, resurrected flesh and blood body now in heaven. E, letter E, all things were created through him. As the Eternal One that he is, all things were created through him. Verse 3 of John chapter 1 says, through him, Jesus, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. What? Well, it's just like he's saying the same thing twice, all right? Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Same thing, right? Just repeating himself. The Word. When you think of creation, back to Genesis chapter 1, right? As we go through day 1, and God said, here's the Word, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And that was the first day. The Word, right? The Father, the Son is the Word, working together, the Holy Spirit. Second day, what? And God said, he spoke this into existence. Now, how does science take care of that? They can't, because it can't be explained naturally. God is so far beyond mankind. Even the smartest person on the planet that ever has been or ever will be. God is far beyond that, we know. Second day, God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water. So you're getting the atmosphere above, you're getting the water below. But God said, third day, and God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place. Now we're talking about the oceans, the seas, and let dry ground appear. Each one God said, that's his word, the living word going forth, creating it all. As verse 3 said, through him, Jesus, all things were made. We see it right there in Genesis chapter 1. And so we worship him as the eternal one. 6 days he created the heavens and the earth, the animals, the fish, man on the sixth day, and the seventh day he rested. There's a lot of discussion. I personally believe in a young earth theory. I know there's many that don't. Is that going to say you affect your salvation? No, I don't think so. But I believe it. When we come over to Exodus chapter 20 in the Ten Commandments, the commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work and so on. And he comes down to verse 11. And what? This is God writing by his finger, the finger of God on those stone tablets that he's going to give to Moses up there on Mount Sinai. And God is saying this in that commandment, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh. So why do we, you know, throughout many examples of the Old Testament where that word day is used, we take that as a 24-hour day. And why can't we accept the 6 days of creation as six 24-hour days? It's because man wants to fit millions of years into that time as a way to try and explain how this all happened, when God just spoke it into existence. It's his creation. Where's the dinosaurs? Job, look at Job chapter 40, 41. You got the behemoth and you have the leviathan. They're both dinosaurs. You read it through and see their description. One is a sea creature. You can clearly see where people got the imagery of dragons, as it speaks of the flame of fire going out of this mouth of this creature. The behemoth, you can picture the brontosaurus, some of those gigantic creatures as it's described there. So I know you're thinking, what's that have to do with it? Well, he created all of this. That's what it has to do with it. Oh, so he is the eternal one. That's the first characteristic of who Jesus is that we're looking at. There's like probably five more that will be coming. And as we know him as such, then we're able to rest in him. Rest in him. My soul, Psalm 62, the psalmist said, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him alone. He only is my rock and my salvation. He's my fortress, and I will never be shaken. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you again and again and again for your plan of salvation. Lord, it's incredible that Jesus, the living Word, became flesh. It was your plan from even before the creation of the world. You had the plan because you are all-knowing. And we are blessed to live in this day after the cross, after the resurrection, that we get to celebrate your birth, Jesus, knowing all that happened then and ever since. And we do rest in you, Jesus, as the eternal God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, Almighty God, the As the prophet Isaiah spoke, you are all of that to us, and we love you, our wonderful counselor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Our closing hymn will be 281. 281. What child is this? Let's stand together. Please receive the benediction. And now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Let me have a prayer, please, for the lunch, for the children and youth, for program practice. And Father, I thank you for this time now, the lunch that's been prepared, the ladies that have organized this, and all that have brought parts of this meal. Let it be blessed to the nourishment and strength of their bodies, of all who are working and helping with the program. We thank you that the practice as well will go good. And Lord, this is for your glory. Help the children as they learn their parts to work diligently on those. And Lord, as we leave from this place, take everyone home safely, I pray. It has been good to be in your house this day. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. God bless you all.